You may be seated. What is God's will? What does God want? What does He desire? To know God is to know His will, to know His desire. You hear so many ask, what is God's will for me, for my life? The best answer for that question is to look to the Bible, to God's Word. Not as though some are accustomed to doing, as though opening the Bible will magically teach you what God would have you do. No, what the Bible does, what the Word of God does, is it reveals God's will as it is found in the commandments and the instructions of our Lord for His people. And as Luther further taught in the Catechism, the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, how is God's will done? God's will is done when He breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, of the world, and our sinful nature. And so God's will, His desire, is strongly linked to His law, His Torah from the Old Testament, His instruction for His people in all things. And it is not God's will, nor His desire for anybody here on this earth to sin against Him in thought, in word, and deed. So every such sin goes against God's desire. For the Almighty God has created all things to be good. And no matter how long this world persists, and how long we continue on in sin, God still expects His creation to be good as He has made it to be. So His standards never decrease. He still expects our perfection. And thus His anger, His wrath over our sin and our corruption is justly warranted. And it is that sinfulness, that corruption, that even taints our greatest works in this life. Consider the words again from the prophet Isaiah from this morning's Old Testament reading. They delight to know my ways. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? God's people think that they are doing God's will, that He would be pleased with them for these outward displays, fasting, humility, and the like. But God calls His people out for the selfish desires hidden beneath these actions. Behold, God says, in the day of your fast you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your works. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day, God says, will not make your voice to be heard on high. The simple act of abstaining from food for a time is not pleasing in God's sight, nor is His delight in the sacrifices offered by His people of old. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. These words from the 51st Psalm, written by David, they reveal God's desire, His will. Of course, God expects good from all of His creation, but the good done by sinners is corrupted. God's desire, therefore, is for sinners to realize this, to accept this, and to repent of this. Trust not in your own deeds. Lean not on your own understanding, for God alone is the one who is holy and just and righteous, and all that we then can do flows from Him, from His goodness and His righteousness. Now, when faced with this truth, that the works that we do gain us no favor before God, that His delight is not in what we are doing here, and we become downtrodden, why even bother to do what we know we cannot do? And faced with such a reality all throughout our life situations, the natural inclination is to give up, to move on, abandon this path of difficulty, go down an easier path, a simpler one. Abandon the law of God. Find another way. But God's law is not bad. It cannot be. God's law is truly pure and good and just in every aspect, in every respect. It is we who are the problem. In comes Jesus, then, to this world of sin and of darkness and corruption. He came preaching the light of the gospel, life in the midst of darkness and of death. He even told His disciples in the Sermon on the Mount that they are the salt of the earth. They are the light of the world. Now, Jesus knows this cannot be true for sinners in and of themselves, but they who believe in Him, who are baptized into His righteousness, then salt and light, they truly are. How does Jesus make all of this take place? How does He make this actually happen? It's not by inspiring His disciples to do great things, to go and be better men. Does not drive them on to better piety in order to be then the light of the world for all to follow. For the law of God for us continues to be a burden. Our unrighteousness is darkness. But still, Christ did not come to abolish it, to take away the law. For the law of God could not be abandoned by Christ. The law is His law, and He can no more reject His law than He can reject Himself. Rather, Jesus came to do it, to fulfill His law. The Son of God was born here into this world in time and space, into our real mortal flesh. The Father's eternally begotten, all-powerful, fully righteous Son now shares our humanity. And He became one with you to fulfill the law on your behalf, to take your place. And His success in doing so is credited to you as righteousness by faith. This great work of Jesus done upon the cross, fulfilling all righteousness for you, goes all the way back through space and time to all those who believed even before His final coming here into this world, His birth in Bethlehem. For the Bible says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. The righteousness of Christ was on full display at Calvary. Upon the cross. While Jesus hung there upon the cross, sinners hurled insults after Him. This was the most opportune time for the devil to come back, to return as he was said to do, to tempt Jesus into sin and rejection of the Father. But still in humble trust of His Father, even while He hung on the cross, the Lord Jesus never wavered. The Spirit of God remained with Him and strengthened Him. And so the suffering and death of the Lord's Christ, His chosen one, the only begotten Son of God, is the clarion call to just how good God's law is. Our good and our holy God could not overlook sin. No transgression against His command. For His purity, His righteousness would not allow His holy law to be abandoned or forsaken. But rather, the Lord Jesus comes and He fulfills it all. All of it perfectly Every dot and every iota of the law is kept by Jesus. Not to show that, yes, it can be done, you sinners, but to show that it must be done. For God is good, and this is His will. And because of this, because of Jesus' suffering and death upon the tree of the cross for sin and for our unrighteousness, the cross of Christ is the core of all that we are as the church. St. Paul says to that church in Corinth, surrounded by so much of the world's philosophies and secular ideas, I decided to know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Jesus' death upon the cross paid the wage for all sin. And with sin and death now dealt with permanently by Jesus, the full restoration of all of creation is guaranteed. The law and the will of God remain fully intact, and they will continue on forever. As now the redeemed people of God, justified by faith in Christ, being sanctified by the Spirit of God, we are looking forward to truly living life forevermore with love and delight in the ways of God, never to know sin or death again. The Lord Jesus did not come here into this world to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, just as He said. And He has done that, exactly that, revealing the goodness of God and His will for His creation to show you and to be you and what life will be like forever with Him and His kingdom. You then, who are His baptized people, you who are fed with His body and His blood and His supper, for your continued forgiveness, you are now salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world, for you bear Christ to all. As His people, as Christians, then you live out the will of the God of the you live out the will of God, for not one dot or iota of His law has been abolished, but fulfilled, and you remain your lives here living in that law and love of God. You are blessed to have that full righteousness of Christ, to have the goodness of the Lord Jesus flowing from you and to all those who are around you. And doing good is truly good, but your faith in Christ Jesus is even better. And both are God's good gifts to you. By His grace in Jesus, amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and unto life everlasting. Amen.